Hello and welcome to The Improverbial, a podcast where we unearth obscure sayings and phrases from around the world, invent absurd new proverbs, and talk about things mundane, spurious, irrelevant, and profound. I am the Habitalist, Pete Kirkwood.
And I'm Lisa Favette, the Tilt Thinker. I've been doing and coaching improv for many years. Pete and I have been doing improv together for some of those years. This podcast is a mashup of Pete's interest in the science of well-being, my background in education and human development, our shared fascination with the world's idiomatic weirdness, and our superpowers in improv comedy. We are the Improv-verbializers.
Woohoo!
Yeah! Well, welcome everybody. Here we are again, and we have got a great proverb.
Hi.
Hi. This proverb is to take with a grain of salt, to take something with a grain of salt. So this is a phrase most people are familiar with. This means we're going to take things we read or hear with a grain of salt, meaning we should be skeptical. That the source is obviously biased or the facts are unreliable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've used this one. You're going to take something with a grain of salt. This one goes back a few hundred years. But
can I use it in a sentence? I think it'd be helpful.
Yeah.
Elizabeth's claims about her company's blood tests seem plausible, but I'd take them with a grain of salt until we see the field test results.
Okay.
That's something taken from topical news. I don't know if you've been following Theranos.
Oh, you mean, Theranos. Oh yeah. That Elizabeth. Yeah. Anything she says we must take with a grain of salt.
Sorry.
Yeah. So now Elizabeth would be glad to hear that this comes from ancient times.
Ancient times.
77 AD. We have Pliny the Elder. He wrote that there a remedy for poison in the natural history was to pound together two dried walnuts, two figs, two rue leaves, and a grain of salt. So this was very literal back then.
Mm-hmm.
And if you put that together, if you're taking that while fasting, then you won't be poisoned that day.
Probably because you'll be like barfing.
Yeah, you'll probably be barfing.
Because you have all this weird crap all pounded up and swallowed. Take it fasting. So don't eat anything. And then eat this weird mixture of like rue and salt and
I'm assuming walnuts. Well, I was assuming rue was kangaroo. Just joking. This is the truthful part of our show. Right. It is an evergreen herb. I needed to look up rue.
I looked it up too. It looked kind of nice. I was thinking I might grow in my garden. It's hardy in our zone. Yeah, I could do it.
You can do it. Yeah. You'd be the only one, Pete.
Yeah, people don't use it very much anymore.
No.
I guess the Romans used it a lot.
But not anymore,
it's like
Pete.
A bitter
bring
herb.
It back. Bring it back.
The rue. Okay, I'll try. So
then we see it in 1647, John Trapp, he used it in the commentary on the Old and New Testaments. He said, this is to be taken with a grain of salt. So this was when it was really within the terms that we know more
today. I
didn't
find that one.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. They're not sure if that was exactly the same meaning as we have today.
Well, have you noticed that like say you're eating some chicken, right? It gets like dry and it's hard to swallow, but like throw on a bunch of salt and all of a sudden it is a lot easier to swallow. I mean, some salt really does make things easier to swallow.
It makes things easier to swallow.
Right. So I was thinking like that's something, but it's almost like backwards because salt makes, when you say that, you know, he swallowed, it means he believed something that was not correct. So it seems weird that you'd use the grain of salt to connote something that you shouldn't swallow.
That's what it's saying is, you should not swallow this. Yeah.
Right. So it feels like almost opposite because usually salt makes something easier to swallow, taking with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah.
Don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
So any thoughts on that? So did you have some big thoughts on this or any, where did you take this one?
Well, you know, my mind went a little bit, you know, this idea back in the Pliny time that,
Pliny the Elder is a great beer, by the way, just a slight interjection.
Hey, a little bit of promotion. Maybe we could get
them
as a sponsor.
Not one of mine, but still,
So this idea of, an antidote, you know, for poison.
Oh yeah.
And so I started looking up antidotes and I started looking up poisons and,
you have any plans for
for poisoning? Why, Pete? Are you nervous? Pete, I would never poison you.
Not me.
Not
just
you.
Our enemies.
Yeah, all of our enemies, our big list of enemies. Well, you know, the first myth I thought of is, you know, you know, sucking the poison out if you got bit by a snake.
Yeah.
You don't do that.
No?
It's a myth.
Oh, man.
It's a myth. You don't do that.
What am I
going to
do?
I know. Next time you're bit by a snake, I'm not going to be sucking that out of you. Shoot.
I've used that before as a...
You have actually done this?
No, I just hope that somebody would...
No. They shouldn't for two reasons. First,
that's gross.
The poison.
Depends where you get snake bit.
Hey, baby,
a snake just bit me.
Peter.
Sorry.
Myth buster. You know, the venom gets absorbed into the system really fast, so it already distributes so fast. And also, you would spread infection. So you got the bite mark, somebody's sucking it out, they got their saliva on this open wound. Mm-hmm. You're going to have infection. So Pete, you actually don't want that.
No, okay. I won't do it anymore.
Okay. You'll stop that practice. Uh-huh. What kind of thoughts did you have?
Oh, I was going to the thing about skepticism and like, you know, trust but verify is a kind of an analog to this. I'll listen to you. I might believe you, but I'm just not going to just accept it. You do the research and that led me to this thing that you may be familiar with called Occam's razor. It's like kind of a principle of logic. And it's if I could summarize it, if there are multiple possible explanations for something, presume the simplest one or the one that requires the fewest assumptions, unless you have information to the contrary. So for example, if you come home and find trash strewn everywhere in your house and you're like, how did this happen? And you narrow it down to like two possible explanations. One is, your dog, who's been home hungry and alone for 3 hours, got into the trash. Or the CIA is monitoring you and searched your trash for sensitive documents. Which one is simplest, requires fewest assumptions? And this is the true part. Obviously, well, right? Your dog got into the garbage.
Occam's razor would tell me it's the dog.
Yes. It sounds so intellectual.
Thank you.
I'm just saying this because this is like the fundamental problem with conspiracy theories is like, if you believe in some outlandish global plot by a whole bunch of people to do some nefarious thing, take a moment and think just how many complicated and unlikely assumptions it requires. And just take a moment and wonder whether there might be some much, much simpler explanation, like people are incompetent or people are selfish or self-interested. It's probably not some global cabal of intellectual elites trying to exploit you into, controlling your life.
Yeah. And then, you know, many things pop into my head here and I actually don't even want to talk about like current things because it makes my blood boil about the things and the conspiracy theories that people are believing right now. So I won't go into that it makes me too emotional, Pete. Aww. But I really like this idea to put a name to it, this Occam's razor saying, the principle of logic, and we need to do that more. And, you know, working in a school with students, this is something I do a lot of teacher training. Mm-hmm. And I talk to the teachers about this. It's like, they actually don't need to know all these hard facts. They need to know how to get to facts and how to make deduction and how to have a critical mind and how to ask the question and how to find the right answers and then to question those answers. That is the most important thing we can teach them. And we need to do that all the time. We can't hand things over to young people that we're working with and teaching. We need to always just leave breadcrumbs that they then are picking up and deciding, I should eat this, I shouldn't eat that. Where'd the bread come from? Oh, the bread crumb came from the CIA and I shouldn't eat it because it's got a microchip in it.
It might have roux in it.
It's got some roux.
The sort of principles of like the scientific method, this is like, I don't know why it might be hard for people to grasp, but it's like you take a fact and then you try to disprove it. You like look for other facts that either confirm or undermine it. And then you either are not a fact, a hypothesis. Here's what I think is true. Yeah. I'm gonna look for facts that either support or undermine it. And according to that, I just follow the tracks rather than sort of like leaping to starting with some conclusion and then kind of looking for facts that back it up.
To support it. Cause you can really support anything, right? I mean,
yeah. So, and like where a conclusion is based on verifiable or falsifiable facts, where you can actually find out whether this is true or false based on some kind of empirical observation, you know, those are very, very strong things to believe. And where everything about that supports a particular opinion is based on a whole bunch of other sort of conjecture or assumptions or other people's opinions, stuff like, I don't know if I'm helping the world by explicating this, but like really let's, fundamentally, the things that we can believe are things which are falsifiable and that build upon other things that are falsifiable.
Yeah. So this grain of salt, I think right now today it's true for all time, but we really need to take things we hear and see and read and talk about with a grain of salt, don't we?
That's right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the second part of our podcast where we make shit up. This part is going to be completely unreliable, untrue, made up on the spot. So I hope you enjoy it, but don't take it all with a grain of salt, as it were. Actually, with like a truckload.
Yeah, but more like a truckload or like a container.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, I would like to thank the Boardman Review for supplying this wonderful Proverbitron, which generates a random word.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
And this is powered by a giant grain of salt, which was unearthed in the salt mines under Detroit.
Oh, yeah.
And that's really true. There are massive salt mines under Detroit. Under Detroit.
Yeah, that one's true. Yeah. And we're so grateful to have the city of Detroit to donate this giant grain to our little meager podcast.
Yeah. And so it glows. It glows like with a nice yellowish glow. And when we turn it on, can you hear that? All right. I'm gonna press the button. Here it comes.
Gobi Desert.
And the first word, the first word is actually a few words. It's the Gobi Desert. The Gobi Desert.
All right, I will squeeze by this big grain of salt and push the second button.
Booger.
The second word, this is quite dignified. It's booger.
Oh, booger.
Booger, huh? Oh, gosh, Pete. Boogers and Gobi Desert. Yes. The Gobi Desert, wow. Wow, the Proverbitron is spitting out a three-letter combination, or three-word combinations, which is really nice. It's showing that it's a little bit of AI.
Yeah.
It's a little bit, it's learning.
I think that salt might have helped.
Well, the salt absolutely gives its vocabulary and its linking of words some extra power. We need to be careful here. It might take over the show.
It already has, I think. This is a funny one.
This is a funny one. All right. So of course, most people I'm sure know what this one is. This is the crunchiest boogers come from the Gobi Desert.
And don't they?
This is so true. I mean, it's literally true. It's
born out in my life.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think it's totally true. The crunchiest boogers do come from the Gobi Desert in the manner of speaking.
Yeah. And it's funny because then you automatically think, what do the slimiest boogers come from? Right. And we all know it's New Jersey.
They do. All the slimy boogers come from New Jersey. Yeah. With all due apologies. Oh,
no, this is not a slight to New Jersey. I mean, way to go.
Way to go, New Jersey.
Yeah.
With all your slimy boogers.
Yeah. I mean, what? Who's to say a crunchy booger is any better or worse than a slimy booger?
Well, I am. I mean,
you gonna make a stand here.
And I do prefer them. I mean, we're talking about literal, but when it comes to literal boogers, I mean, crunchy's better because you can get them out and out of there. Slimy ones, they get all over everything.
Yeah, but you know, then they last longer. You know, you're not like the crunchy ones. You lose them fast, right?
That's, slimy ones, stick that's around. Why I like them better.
They stick around. So we agree to disagree.
Hey, forgot about it.
So
I like it because it's really it validates this. What the thing about this saying is it really validates hard work. It validates it values people that come up from nothing.
Yes, it does. It does. It validates all those things. Like I made it through the Gobi Desert.
Yeah.
I've got encrusted nostrils and sinuses to prove it. And here I am.
Is that how
here
you visualize this one?
This is my mental image. Did you want to buy it for some money? Oh, sorry. I'm harking back to another time where you could buy images. Episode. Go ahead, Pete. What's your thinking?
I love that. That's a great way of, for me, like it's just an image of someone crunching on boogers, which I always think is hilarious.
Like popcorn?
Yeah, almost like popcorn. And you know, the crunches boogers come from the Gobi Desert. It's all about, you know, coming up from nothing, people coming from nowhere, the middle of the desert. The Gobi Desert is like just seen as a desolate place that nothing good could come out of. And lo and behold, the very crunchiest boogers have all come out of there. And what's so funny about this one, right?
Yeah.
Is like the way a crunchy booger comes across as like a really great thing.
It is. If you get a crunchy booger.
I know, right?
Is that what you associate? You like crunchy booger. Wow. Did I strike gold today?
Yeah. I actually call it that, striking gold.
Striking gold.
Yeah. When my kids are up there mining, I always call it mining.
Yeah.
They're picking their nose. I'm like, gold. He struck some gold. Got a nice nugget. Yeah.
Now, and I guess what we have is a little disparity between a nice nugget whether it be crunchy or whether it be slimy. Now, if we can also think, all right, so we know Gobi Desert gets the crunchiest. We know New Jersey gets the slimiest. Mm-hmm. What other type of attributes do we have and what are their geographic origins?
Well, I guess this would just be a thought experiment because I only know of the two expressions.
Well, as a matter of fact, I looked it up and I did.
Are there more?
Yeah, but you know how God. Like it gives you
guessing
games?
Let's have some fun with
games?
This and where would it, yeah.
Like, yeah, the guessing games, I'll tell you if you're right or not.
Okay. Let's start with like, where would the greenest... The greenest boogers come from.
Yep. I have that one. That is the greenest down here.
I'm going to say Rio de Janeiro.
Rio de Janeiro?
Yeah.
You're close. That is actually the goldest. Right, the goldest boogers come from there. Oh. More on the yellow tinge.
Yeah.
And this isn't going to surprise you. It's Greenland.
Oh, the greenest of course. Boogers. I should have known. And the coldest boogers, probably Iceland. I don't know.
Yeah. You got it.
Oh, see, I'm getting the hang of this.
You're getting the hang of this one. Totally. There's a couple of surprising ones, though, here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So,
okay, you give me the place and I'll try to guess the kind attribute? Of booger that comes from there. Yeah.
Let me look through my list here. All right. Right here, I have Grand Rapids. This is very localized here.
Wow, Grand Rapids has its own boogers?
They made the list.
So the blankest boogers come from Grand Rapids. how about the... I'm struggling.
You're struggling with this one?
I don't know what kind of boogers come from Grand Rapids. Give me a hint.
All right. Something to do with the name.
The grandest boogers come from Grand Rapids?
Grandest, but something about the other part of the name.
She's doing this like shimmying motion with her body. The shimmiest? No, the nosiest?
All right, you're so close, Pete. I'm just going to tell you. The most fluid, like the rapids.
The fluidest.
You get the biggest rapids coming out of your nose.
I was hoping it would be something more like, I want it to be like the grandest or the...
The grandest rapids coming out of your nose is what comes from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Okay. They made the list. I want to just point out, this is an international list. They look at boogers from all over the world. And Grand Rapids, Michigan, right here in our backyard, has made the list. So congratulations.
Yeah, but the thing is, I always thought this was like figurative. It's not like really the actual
Some boogers, are figurative, some are actual.
I mean, I guess if you came across the Gobi Desert, they would get a little crunchy. It's probably a lot of sand.
Oh, yeah, totally. It's, really dry. It's because of that environment. Absolutely.
Really interesting.
All right, so how about an attribute, you come up with the attribute and I'll come up with a place.
Okay. Which place has, the boogers that are the most, substantial?
Las Vegas.
Really? What a place, what a vacuous place.
Yeah. Vacuous, but the boogers have a lot of depth and soul.
That's what their reputation is.
That's the reputation.
It's fun because you can really kind of get a sense for the popular feelings about a place through the kind of boogers that people say come from there.
Pittsburgh.
What about Pittsburgh? Is it on the list?
It is. It is on the list. It's for like the blackest boogers.
Ew.
The blackest. Yeah. I mean, because of the industry. And this has to do again with environment.
Soot.
The soot.
Well,
yeah.
I was just in Pittsburgh. It was great. It was.
Did you blow your nose at any
boogers
point?
Boogers are fine.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you telling me that this...
Wait a minute.
What
about Motown? Is Motown have the boogiest boogers?
Did you look at my list?
I just totally guessed that.
No, that's right. It does. It has the most boogiest boogers.
Because
They
really had a boogie in Motown.
Yeah. But you know, you're starting to get me thinking until you came up with this beauty, which obviously this is a fact.
Correct.
That perhaps somehow my list was not credible. Like that... Is it somehow I should have been taking this?
You should take that with a grain of salt.
Salt?
Yeah, I think you should.
I should have more of a critical mind to source.
Which of the explanations for these phrases has the fewest assumptions? You should apply Occam's razor.
You should take that razor out all those crusty boogers in my sinus cavities. And
I want to hear from our listeners, send in the kind of boogers that come from your town.
That's right. We want to hear folks, and we'll be sharing that on our next episode.
Or a future episode, at least.
You can take that with a grain of salt.
Love you.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of The Improverbial. Do you want to improvise with us? You can, yes, and The Improverbial Podcast, and be a sponsor. Please reach out to theimproverbial@gmail.com.
Yeah.